Indeed, with our special guest tonight, Dr. Lori Nadel, we're going to take your phone calls, your incredible stories of intuition as well. Back with her in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Tell me about the work of shamans, Lori, before we take some of these calls.
Well, that's very interesting. Shamans are healers, and they can be found in indigenous societies all over the planet, Siberia, Alaska, Canada, Native Americans, all through the Southern Hemisphere. They're found in Europe. They're found in the Soviet Union. They're found in Ireland and also in Africa and, of course, in Asia. And a shaman is a person who becomes a healer because of an illness that has a kind of mysterious origin and cannot be healed through traditional means. It's considered an illness that opens the gateway between the physical world and the spirit world. And because of that illness, the shaman receives instruction from spirits of ancestors who've been healers and shamans in that particular culture, and becomes a person who has the ability to, we call it astral project, they call it psychonavigation, the ability to project his or her energy body outside their physical self, to go into what they call the upper world or the lower world. We would call it the astral world, or they call it the non-physical world, or we call it non-ordinary reality, to go into other dimensions, if you will, to obtain information about a person who is in pain and who needs kind of some spiritual help mm-hmm. in order to heal.
Are they what we used to call like medicine men and people like that?
Well, there are when we used to talk about medicine men, and there are shamans who work a lot with plants, medicinal plants, healing plants, and what they call transformational plants, or we would call hallucinogenic plants, and certainly in South America, that bring on visions. And then there are shamans who work with plants that are used to cure stomach aches and to help bones to set when somebody breaks a bone. And the pharmaceutical companies have actually been sending ethnobotanists and other researchers to work with indigenous shamans to locate specific plants that have been used for healing for thousands of years and to learn what those compounds are so they can be replicated in the laboratory.
Do you find that the shamans are from family to family? Do they kind of like pass it down, this ability?
Very often it's from biological family to biological family, but sometimes it's a spiritual family. Sometimes you can be called to become a shaman by your teacher. Very special friend of mine had lived here in Connecticut, and from the time she was about 12 to the time she was 30, she kept having dreams about a woman with high cheekbones and dark eyes who was always smiling at her. And by the time she reached her late 20s, she realized that this was a real person. And it became her quest to find this person. And to make a very long story very short, she decided the person, based on her physiology, was either in the Himalayas or the Andes. And she took an expedition down into South America, into Ecuador, and did not meet this person, but she spoke to one of the guides, and she described the person from her dreams, and they said, oh, I think I know who that is. So this woman took a separate trip, hired the guide, went into this little village high up in the Andes Mountains, walked into this little kind of adobe and concrete hut, past a little room with a dirt floor where the animals were, and into the living area. And there sat the woman who had been in her dreams for all these years. And the woman looked at her and said, what took you so long?
Jeez. I think the dream state has so many incredible things for us to do there.
And shamans have that ability to, literally to project their consciousness into their dreams and into their students' dreams, and to find them, and to find people who are suffering, and to summon them.
Have you ever heard of anyone using this ability to hurt other people?
I have never heard of anyone using this ability to hurt other people, although in the Amazon there are rivalries between shamans.
Ego? Ego gets in the way?
I'm sorry?
Ego gets in the way?
Ego, jealousy, tribal loyalties, legacies that probably go back generations between one family and another family, but I've never heard of this being used to hurt an innocent person or a person who was suffering who went to consult a shaman.
All right, let's go to some of the phones here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, is it George?
It is.
And Lori?
Hi.
Hello, this is such an interesting subject. I've been having experiences since I was a child, and realize now that my whole family, the four of us, all have some ability, but it was never discussed. You know, the stigma that's attached to something, like remote viewing or the intuition that I feel and so familiar with, it's just the stigma and stuff, and nobody ever asks me do you have dreams or has anything happened? But it's been going on my whole life. It has saved me, and I was telling Tommy, the screener, that I was living in an apartment, and I started having bad feelings, and I had three dreams right in a row that the place was going to blow up. And 3 days, I left. I left all my stuff, just packed a suitcase, and they did blow the building up, and people got hurt in my apartment where the bomb went off.
Gee.
That's
was
incredible.
Right where my head would have been. I thought, oh, thank you to my angels in the universe. I go, I wasn't ready to die yet, but yes, it happened. My landlord described it to me. I was in another state. He described it, and it was exactly like the dream. Exactly as I saw it. Three times, and that's my number, three. I'll have things that happen three times in a row, and then I know, and I do follow my intuition. I don't try to question it anymore. I don't care about the stigma. It's been going on, but really back in the late 70s is probably when I had my first thing in a group where we had sealed envelopes. And I guessed what the picture was, and everybody looked at me. I was the only person in the room and my partner that got it right. And so I knew that at that point in time, there's a room full of people, no one can get it, that I am gifted, and I try my best to use the information wisely. I was hoping, though, that you could touch on the subject of how to harness it and tame it, because it seems like I have no control.
Well, learning control, before we get control, we're kind of like a radio or a television that can't get stations. If you go to my website, www.unlockyoursixthsense.com, we have a free report which talks about your intuitive profile. There are a number of articles which have some tips, and there's also some questions and answers there, and you can sign up for a free one-on-one teleseminar, which would hone in on exactly the right technique for you so that you could begin to turn it on and turn it off when you need it, because that's a very important skill.
Sure is. West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yep,
Hi.
Go ahead, sir.
This is Brandon from Santa Ana.
Take it away.
A couple of things on the intuition. I have never been able to do long division or any of the long versions of math, but I kind of just come up with the numbers, and I've always been told that I was cheating or whatever. And also, like at work, I'll grab a handful of nuts and bolts to go do a job, and 9 times out of 10, I have exactly the right amount every time. I mean, it's...
Bravo.
It's pretty amazing. And I'm an artistic person. I was good at ceramics and stuff at high school, and I landed a job as an automotive designer and clay modeler, and have done really well for someone that didn't go to college for that and things like that. So I don't know if it's a right or a left brain person, but...
Well, you're an intuitive genius.
I've got some inventions, and I got a patent, and I've done some stuff, and done pretty well, but... I don't know if it's as wild as the last caller, but it's something.
It works. It doesn't have to be a bomb.
I think that that's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, as our last caller was saying, you know, there's a stigma that this kind of intelligence isn't recognized early on. But it seems like you've done brilliantly. Now, if you want to find out a little bit more about your type of intuition, again, we have a free report on the website, which is www.unlockyoursixthsense.com. And if you tune in, if you go to webtalkradio.net on Monday, the second show is the interview with that inventor, Jerry Prine, who I was talking about, and I'm sure that you'll be fascinated and certainly resonate with some of his experience as well.
Lori, this sounds like it's changed your life.
It has totally changed my life. In fact, as I was kind of joking about coming out of the closet before, when I wrote this book and I first went on the road with it, I never spoke about my own experiences because the publisher and the scientist in the book said that I would discredit the science if I admitted that I had ever had a direct encounter with a disembodied voice or a disincarnate entity or anything that kind of, you know, smacked of like Hollywood or all that. They called it woo-woo stuff. And
cuts into your credibility? Is that what they thought?
That's what they said.
Hmm.
And so for years, I was in the closet. Now, I remember when I was on Oprah in 1993, there was a wonderful show called Premonitions, and there was a man on the panel who had had a series of dreams 5 years earlier about children's murdered bodies in a ditch. And this man was, I think he was an accountant, and he had never had a dream like that before. He'd never had it since, and he still couldn't talk about it without being completely ashamed of himself, even though he had gone to the detectives here in Nassau County, outside of New York City, and he had told them the dream, and they had used his description of the dream in the ditch to find these missing, murdered children. And I remarked to Oprah at the time that it's easier for people to talk about incest in public than it is to talk about having had a psychic experience. And what I didn't tell Oprah, because I was still hiding, was that I myself had had dreams or experiences that had completely changed my life, and yet I still was not able to kind of come out of the closet and say, yes, I've had experiences that cannot be explained in any way through logic, and yet I know that these experiences are real and that they're coming from someplace that's very real. It's an ability or an apparatus that enables me to receive information. I can't explain it through my five physical senses.
Okay, next up, let's go to our wild card line. You are on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Samuel. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, thanks for calling, Samuel.
Thank you. I've had lots of dreams about stuff that's happening in the future. I've had one dream where I believe it actually saved my life. Before, when I was like younger, I knew that I had dreams about dying in a war, and I had dreams that I was going to die in the military, and I was going to be single when I died. Well, when I joined the Army, I got married about a year after I was in, and while I was in there, our unit was going to deploy to Iraq. Well, I was in the midst of a choice to be either medically discharged or go to Iraq and possibly come back in a wheelchair from, you know, the work and stuff, doing what I was doing. And I thought about my wife, and I thought that I wouldn't be able to provide for her if I had gone to Iraq and come back injured or possibly dead, you know. And that dream kept in my mind, so I thought, well, if I'm dead, I can't provide for her. So I got the medical discharge at that time, and my unit was attacked, and some of the people died, and I believe that I would have died as well. And I'm having a dream now about a job that I'm thinking about taking, working for the airport. And in that job, or in the dream I'm having about that job, I have dreams where all these planes are scrambling and they're trying to take off. And what's weird is at the dream, Air Force One is there at the airport. And when it takes off, it crashes. And all these other planes, they're crashing right after they're taking off because, you know, of power failures and whatnot. And right before, like, the dream ends, I look up in the sky and I see rockets coming towards us, like, well, or missiles or something.
Well, let's hope this is one intuition that doesn't work for us, Samuel, huh?
Yeah.
That would be a pretty scary dream. But what feeling do you get? I mean, it could be your unconscious, your psyche, is telling you that this is a dream in which, you know, there'd be a lot of conflict on the job, not necessarily that there are literally rockets, you know, coming at you.
Good point.
But that, you know, Air Force One, the airplane could represent your boss. And
In the dream.
Yeah.
In the, like, the dreams that I've had, of current jobs, I'll actually, like, while I'm working, in fact, I had one a couple months ago, where I remembered my dream, and it happened exactly how I dreamt it. And it, every time I am at a job where I dreamt about it, the same thing happens, exactly the same thing. And I scare people because I tell them, look, this is what's going to happen in the next couple minutes. And it happens. So that's why I'm thinking that, that's one reason why I feel something's going to happen maybe next year. And I'm thinking about not taking that job, because if I do take that job, I'll be right where one of the rockets hit or one of the missiles hit, because in the dream, I feel my body disintegrating.
Well, you know, if that's what he feels, right? Lori, I guess he's got to go with his instinct, his intuition, right?
I would certainly go with that dream, whatever it might or might not mean. It certainly is giving you a warning that you would probably have a shockingly unpleasant experience. So I'd definitely not take that job.
Lori, the book, Dr. Lori Nadell's Sixth Sense, Unlocking Your Ultimate Mind Power, where do you get it?
You can get it in Barnes & Noble. It's available on barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com.
And can people email you if they have questions?
Yes, they can. They can either click the go to my website, unlockyoursixthsense.com, and just click right on the home page. It says Contact Dr. Lori. Or you can email me directly at sixthsensethebook@msn.com.
We're going to stick with the more of your stories and our conversation with Dr. Lori when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And time permitting, of course, we'll probably do the same thing next hour as well, because the phone lines are jammed. And we might as well take advantage of your incredible abilities to look into the future. Remote viewing, intuition, call it what you may. Do you have that ability? I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Boy, I wish I would have used my intuition over the years. I waited so long. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Lori, have you ever been frightened or concerned of this ability that people have? I mean, is there anything that is, I'm a positive person, you are too, but is there anything on the other side that we need to be aware of?
There are people who I would say are mischievous, or certainly there are people who can use their abilities, if you will, to try to impose their viewpoint or to manipulate other people to do what they want. But there's nothing that an informed person has to worry about. I think that, a perfect example is somebody who goes into, in New York, we have, terror reader stores or somebody's sitting in a storefront in a gypsy costume, and, you know, people go in and they get a little tarot reading, and the reader says, oh, by the way, I can see that there's something wrong in your energy field, and it looks like there's a spirit that, you know, that wishes you ill, and I can clean your aura for you, come back tomorrow, and it's only $100. Or, you know, people have got sucked into these kind of listening to the reader's premonitions, and it's a scam, and coming back and paying $500 or $700, or, you know, having to come back every month for another reading and another special kind of cleansing ceremony. So there are people, just as there are, you know, attorneys, and, you know, there are vacuum cleaner salesmen. I mean, there are people in, you know, in this field who use their abilities, and who and people like that definitely have a sixth sense, and they were also able to sense where somebody is vulnerable or frightened, and try to use it to their advantage. So I think you have to be informed. And I also advise people, don't just go wandering into, you know, somebody sitting there with a crystal ball, and not be on your guard.
You have to be,
and you have to trust your intuition, your gut feeling. When someone is trying to tell you, my intuition says that we should do this, it's not about trusting someone else's intuition. It's about trusting your intuition. And I've spoken to a number of people who got into financial difficulties in a business venture because they didn't think that their intuition counted, and they put all of their trust in their partner's so-called intuition.
Right, but they knew better.
And they didn't listen because they either, you know, that they discounted it, they didn't believe that they really had intuition, and the other person had kind of convinced them that they were the ones with the strong gut feeling and the vision and the intuition, and that, you know, that their vision for the business was really the right vision. And some of these people were also, you know, cunning or simply not very grounded when it came to the dollars and cents of working a business plan and a budget. And, you know, I've heard from many people, if only I'd listened to my own sixth sense, because I knew that this, you know, that she was leading me down a path that just didn't feel right. And when they lose their business and their home and their mortgage because they keep investing in their partner's vision, it can be a financial catastrophe.
Absolutely. To the phones we go again. Wildcard line, you're on with Dr. Lori. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
You gonna go?
I'm sorry. Is it me?
I don't know who you are.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is Margaret from WRVA Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi.
Your guest had made reference to the Myers-Briggs and ESPN tuition, and I want to know, is there any combination of the four letters that shows someone prone to having ESP?
Yes, actually, the anything with an N in it, the EN, the IN combinations would be somebody who is either an extroverted intuitive.
Explain that, Lori. What do you mean by that?
Well, there are some people who use their intuition to be able to read people or to be able to get a sense of where there's going to be a change in the market or a new product or service, and that person would likely combine their intuition with their putting their energy or their focus of attention into what we call the external world, the world of people, activities, and things. Someone who's an introverted intuitive tends to spend more time in what we call the inner world of concepts and ideas. And an introverted intuitive can be someone like Albert Einstein, who daydreamed that he was riding on a beam of light, and when he woke up from his daydream, he went, aha, I think that was a real vision that I had of something that is possible in science. And he went on to prove the theory of relativity based on his daydream, because he believed tangibly that what he experienced in his inner world was real. Whereas if he was just a regular guy, he'd say, that was a strange daydream. I think I'm going to have a beer and watch the game. Right? So somebody who values the experience in his or her inner world combined with intuition is also someone who's likely to be a visionary, a mystic, a shaman, you know, possibly a psychic, somebody who's likely to be able to communicate with angels or the spirit world. That's more likely to fall within the introverted intuitive combinations. And you can find out a lot more about these different combinations in the free report, which is called Your Intuitive Profile. And you can get that free report by going to www.unlockyoursixthsense.com and just clicking on the lower right where it says, click here for your free report. And you will get that report delivered as a PDF file right away.
And people can actually try to figure out just their abilities, how good they may be, what they need to do.
Oh, absolutely. And you can also figure out, you know, given the type of intuition you have, what careers might be comfortable or appealing to you, what kind of gifts you might have in terms of psychic talent or psychic ability, if that's a direction that fascinates you. But certainly entrepreneurs have particular, you know, styles of intuitive thinking. And, you know, people who read people quickly and accurately, for example, motivational speakers or, you know, thinking of somebody like Tony Robbins, who's able to basically, you know, read a large group of people accurately and mm-hmm. pick someone out of the audience, you know, specifically for a particular exercise or intervention.
You mean those weren't plants?
I don't think in Tony Robbins' group they're plants. And I know that having studied, you know, for my doctor of clinical hypnotherapy, they teach you a way of reading the audience. So you don't need plants. You just need to be able to read how people respond to certain phrases and suggestions to know who the ideal people are.
Sure. First time caller line, your turn. Thanks for holding.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Marta from Florida.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Laurie, George. It's a pleasure to speak with both of you.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Marta.
Okay, my question is, when I was younger, I had a lot of, I don't know how to term this, and as you were saying before, Dr. Laurie, you didn't want to discuss it with too many people because they thought you were, might, or could be a little strange.
Right.
There's only two people I've ever told on this planet. But I've had a lot of when I was younger, I call them visitation with my angels. I would have dreams that would come true. I would see mostly glowing hands and feel, you know, I had a lot of fear as a child. So these hands gave me comfort. They would touch me or I would see them. And as I've gotten older, they have almost completely gone away. Yeah. As an adult, I can only recall one instance and a person, a being came to me and I left my body and I was shown a vision and it took me years and years to realize what that vision was. And it wasn't a good thing and I kind of felt like I was forewarned. But my question, long story short, is why don't I have them now? I mean, what happened to, I mean, I can remember instances of.
Well, was there an event, Murda? Was there an event in your life where it stopped? Do you remember?
Yes.
What happened?
Not a good thing.
Not worth talking about, huh?
Not something
you want to talk
the nation
about.
To know.
I understand. All right, so here she is, Lori.
Traumatic.
All right, a traumatic episode. She stops the ability. It's gone. How come?
Well, when we have a traumatic episode of any kind, whether it's you know, linked to a psychic event or a physical event, we tend to shut down for protection. And if you were shown something shocking or given a warning or premonition about something shocking, you know, your like the waters would close over that part of the mind. You know, the gate would shut because that's what happens when we're traumatized. We kind of pull inside to protect, to protect ourselves. It sounds as though, you know, as a child you had a lot of fear. I don't know, you know, what issues were going on in your life, but very often when we have a lot of fear as children, we develop that satellite dish or that sixth sense because we're not finding safety and comfort in the world around us.
Do you find that parents also don't encourage their child to pick up this ability? They kind of, you know, tell them this is not right, don't do this?
You know, in other cultures, children are encouraged. You know, indigenous cultures where it's just part of the it's just part of the repertoire of skills that people have. But I think in Western society and certainly in the United States, children get shamed for it. I know that as a child, I got shamed for it. Those few occasions when I would describe having seen an angel or having had a dream that came true. And I learned that it was just something you don't talk about because it upsets people. So there were all kinds of reasons, a lot of them having to do with the fear of being shamed or ostracized or humiliated. Parents who may have been ostracized or shamed themselves have a hard time allowing or encouraging their children to express what comes naturally. And I'd like to think that, you know, in these generations and as those of us who are listening in are bringing up our own children, I'd like to think that a lot of that is changing.
Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello. I'm calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
All righty. Take it away.
And actually, on a first note, I would like to say that I will be encouraging my children to use, you know, any abilities that
good
they
for you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's great.
In fact, my son said that he's seen ghost people, and I haven't, you know, ostracized him for it at all. And but my story is that about a couple years ago, I had this feeling that I would be getting in an accident, and I don't know why, and I didn't listen to it at that time. And I ended up going across the highway, spinning out of control. And nobody was seriously injured, but it was a really scary incident. And just a couple, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I took my son to Boy Scouts. And all of a sudden, on my way there, I started getting this really, really strong feeling that I shouldn't go a certain way. Mm. And, I mean, I heard, I mean, inside my head, I heard the sound of, like, wrecking metal and breaking glass, and with my son next to me, I said, you know, maybe I should listen to it this time. And I went a different way to the church where we meet. And I didn't hear about any major accidents there, but, you know, it still drives me crazy sometimes. I think, what if I had gone, you know, that first way? Would I have gotten in an accident?
Well, the way I like to look at it is better safe than sorry. And the reason that we have that sixth sense to warn us, even though sometimes we never know whether we prevented an accident, you know, that's part of our early warning system. And it comes through.
That's exactly what I did, is I said, you know, I better be safe than sorry, because the feeling was like 10 times stronger than it was that last time. And, I mean, it was even to the point of feeling anxiety about it. And so I said, you know, with my son in the car, I better not even take the chance.
And isn't it wonderful that you listened and you paid attention? Because,
what would have happened if I said, okay, you know, this is a bunch of crap, and I decided to go ahead and go, and then I got in a major wreck, I would have never forgiven myself.
So if one of your angels, someone was trying to keep both you and your son safe, and that I really believe that a lot of what our sixth sense is kind of a higher power that is enhancing our ability to stay ahead of the game and stay alive.
You know, Lori, that little ability where you have that little thing, that voice on one shoulder, and you've got another voice on the other, and one says do it, the other says don't. Mm-hmm. Why the battle between yourself, I guess?
Well, I very interesting. Someone said that the psyche is like a family, and like a family, we're made up of a lot of different parts. And, you know, those parts, or those voices, if you will, they're like relatives that don't get along. So you have, you know, the voice that says, God, you're really stupid. You know, what did you do that for? And that's the voice that argues with you. That's not the voice of intuition. The voice of intuition is usually, you know, just kind of, it's quiet but definite, and it just says yes or no or don't, or shows you a green light. But it's not the voice that says, you know, you shouldn't have that chocolate cake, or, you know, you're not supposed to be smoking anymore. It's not that critical voice. It doesn't dialogue with you. It doesn't argue with you. It's a very specific voice, and it has a different location, and it has its own timbre and volume and pitch, and it's different for each one of us, which is why I say there's a personal signal, and you have to know what you're listening to.
Well, that's no doubt about that. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Harrison from Queens.
Hey, Harrison, Queens, New York.
Queens, you're in my neighborhood, hey.
Hi. I guess this kind of, I'm not sure really how to pose the question, but I feel like George has said, I'm one of those people that is very inept and very intuitive about people. I've been in management, and I've always done well in that field because of how I'm able to basically read people and deal with them. But on the other side of that, the other thing I wanted to ask you was, when you feel like something, like I've always had this feeling, and I don't know if it's more of a feeling or an intuitive thing, that you feel like something bigger is supposed to be going on with you, and you just can't unlock whatever that is. Now, how at some point does that, do you kind of correlate that to manifesting to make that happen, or you know, to figure that out, or do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it sounds as though, you know, there is something deeper within you. It may be your we call it your spiritual destiny, or the blueprint that your soul has for something greater, and it may begin to open up on its own, or it may be something where you might want to consult with somebody or get some coaching to learn how to ask questions to your own inner self and get some guidance.
Can you get better and better and better at this, Lori?
Oh, absolutely. You can get better. It's like learning a language or learning a musical instrument. You know, we all have a certain amount of musical talent, and we can all learn how to play chopsticks on the piano. If you practice hard, you know, you can learn how to play Mozart. But very few of us are so naturally talented that we can play Mozart in concert. And there was only one Mozart. And similarly, there are people whose intuition will develop and flow with practice. And then there are some people who are just naturally gifted.
Hey, Lori, hang on. We're going to do this one more hour, so we'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM.